Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Erev and Daf Tesvav. We're right on top of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Itma, we learned, Lechi Yomid Me'elav. There's a Lechi position that the entrance to the Mavid, which is standing on its own. What does that mean? That it was positioned there to serve in another capacity, not for the sake of a Lechi. And now they'd like to depend on this Lechi to allow carrying in the Mavi. Abaya Mahavi Lechi, you can use it as a Lechi, although it wasn't positioned there for this purpose. It's okay, it's a post, it can serve as a Lechi, and this will allow carrying in the Mavi. Rava Maloyava Lechi, it cannot serve in a Lechi capacity since it wasn't established there, it wasn't positioned there, with this in mind. Explains the Gemara. Heichad lo yisamchin al lemi esmoil. When we have a case where they didn't depend on this lechi there from before Shabbos. For instance, they had a mavi which already featured another lechi. Now, for some reason, they can't rely on that lechi. It fell down on Shabbos, and now they need to rely on this as their lechi. So since at the onset of Shabbos, this was not functioning in a lechi capacity, says Zimmer Kuli Amalei Pligid Lo Yaveh Lechi. All agree, this cannot function as a lechi, because it can't turn into a lechi during Shabbos. Its status needs to be established before Shabbos, and since at the commencement of Shabbos, they were using a different lechi, so they actually negated this post from lechi use. Therefore, it certainly does not provide any heker, any indication of separateness. It can't turn into a lechi on Shabbos. So all agree in this case, it's not effective. Ki pligi, when are Abai and Rava having machlekes, hechadam samchin al lemesmo, in a case where they would like to depend on this lechi from before Shabbos, meaning there's no other lechi present there, they'd like to use this as a lechi at the end point of Shabbos. The question is, can they use this or not? Abai amar havi lechi, it can be used as a lechi, toha samchin al lemesmo, since they are relying and depending on this lechi from before Shabbos, although it wasn't built for the sake of Lechi. But since they are depending on it, they are using it at the commencement of Shabbos, it provides Heker. It's considered to be an indicator of separateness, since it's functioning right now in the capacity of a Lechi. Rav, I'm a lawyer of a Lechi. It can't be used as a Lechi. Kiven de Mikor, since initially, Lavadaiti de Hochi Avidi, it wasn't created and positioned for the purpose of Lechi use. Lo yaveh lechi, it cannot serve in a lechi capacity. Let's take a look at Rashi, up on top of the Amud on the first line. Ha'imid me'elav, explains Rashi, shlo yuhukba shom l'shem tikun mavi. It was not positioned in its place in order to adapt to enable the mavi for carrying. Lo yizminu l'kach, it wasn't designated for this purpose. The Gemara tells us, all agree, heichad lo yisamchin lo me'esmo, when they did not depend and rely on this lechi from before Shabbos. For instance, Shohei Yisham Lechi Acher, there was already another Lechi that was being used. V'nachu b'Shabbos, it fell down on Shabbos. Now, they'd like to turn to this Lechi and use it. All agree in this case, it cannot turn into a Lechi on Shabbos. Because generally speaking, the halachas of Shabbos are determined and established at the onset of Shabbos, at the beginning of Shabbos. So since this wasn't serving in a Lechi capacity at the onset of Shabbos, it cannot turn into lechi on Shabbos. All agree. The question is, when they would like to use this for the entire Shabbos. Abaye says, sure, no problem. Rava says, since it wasn't built and established for this purpose, it doesn't provide indication of lechi. It doesn't have that separateness to it. It won't function in the capacity of a lechi unless it's been established for this purpose. Now, the Gemara is going to proceed and tell us that we figure that this concept will apply to any mechitza. Meaning that, according to Rava, unless a mechitza was established for the sake of mechitza, to contain, to enclose, it will not be effective, will not have a din of mechitza. Let's see the Gemara. Kosal kadaitach, the Gemara at this point figures, ki heichi, the pligid lechi, the same achlekes that Abaye and Rava are having pertaining to a lechi, pligid amib mechitza. The same thing will apply to a mechitza. That if the mechitza is prepositioned for another purpose, or let's say it's a natural phenomenon, you have a boulder that is creating a partition. So it's something which wasn't established for the sake of a mechitza. It's just a natural phenomenon. According to Rava, it cannot have a din of mechitza. Mechitza also depends on intent, on planning, on purpose. If you establish a mechitza for the sake of enclosing an area to designate for personal use, etc., then it works. But it's just a freestanding mechitza without this in mind, according to Rava, it won't work. According to Abai, it will work. So again, ke'echa de pliki b'lechi, pliki nami b'mechitza, toshma, let's bring a raya to this machlekes. Ha'isa sukkasa ben elonis. We learn that if one builds his sukkah between the trees, v'ilonis defonis lo, and the trees themselves are functioning as walls for the sukkah, k'sheira, you can use the sukkah. So apparently, even trees, which were not built for this purpose, they were not designated for mechitzes, they can be used as walls for your sukkah. So it's a kashan rav. Says the Maruch Mayaskinam was speaking about a case shenota mitchil lekach. He planted these trees for this purpose to be used as a mechitza. Says Mayachi, if that's the case, pshita, then that's partially self-evident. Why? Why would I think it doesn't work? What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Says my mom with the tamer, perhaps I would think, ligzer, we should be concerned, dilma asir l'shtamusha b'ilan, perhaps. This is going to lead him to actually use the tree on Yom Tov. A person cannot use a tree on Yom Tov. So perhaps this would be reason not to allow him to use the sukkah. Kamash malon, so the chiddush here is that we have no concern. Toshma, let's bring a raya from the following halach. Hayosham ilan oigadar. If there was a tree or a fence over there, it's referring to the pasei birois, which we're going to learn about as Hashem in the second parak. There's a well in Rishos Haravim. And the Chachamim were concerned, wanted to make sure that the oilei regal, the yidden that come to Yerushalayim, will have enough water supply to feed their animals. So therefore they allowed one to construct pasei birois, boards, posts, around the bur Rishos Haravim, as we see in the diagram on the right side in Rashi here. So we have the bur in the middle, which is surrounded on four sides with these L-shaped posts, which create an enclosure. And the area contained within these posts is considered Rishos HaYachid, which allows drawing water from the bur, which is Rishos HaYachid, to the area outside the bur, which now constitutes Rishos HaYachid. So these four posts are called Diyumdin. Diyu means two, Mdin means posts. So you're meant to construct these posts around the bar. Says the Braisa, Hayisham Ilan Agadar. There was already a tree or a fence around the bar. Oichitza Sakonim, or a mechitza of reeds. Nidain Mishum Dumud. It can be dealt with like a Dumud, meaning you don't need to actually construct it yourself. You can use these pre-existing landmarks. So we see that these things, even though they're natural phenomena, Ilan or Oichitza Sakonim, or let's say the gadar that was not built for the sake of mechitza, can be used as a mechitza. That's kashan rava. That's marchanami, my skin here too, speaking a case, awesome tchil lekach, that he established these things for the sake of mechitza. If that's the case, my kamashmalon, what's the chiddush here? Kamashmalon, the Bryce is teaching us, chitza sakonim, this was on the list there, chitza sakonim is kone pachas mishlosha tfachim. Is describing a partition of reeds, in which case you positioned kana, a kana alongside a kana, both upright, situated within three tefachim of each other, which is less than lavud. K'debay minei Abai miRava, as Abai asked of Rava later in the second parak, whether this type of mechitza can work for the diyamdin, and apparently Brisa is teaching us yes. This is what the Brisa means with chitza sakonin, a partition made with this type of setup of these kanim. So although they're just they're incomplete mechitza because they're just a vertical element, upright, there's nothing horizontal, nevertheless the Braisa is indicating that it works. So this is the chiddush here of the Braisa, but certainly we're speaking about something which a person established. He planted the tree, he built a fence for the sake of creating a mechitza. Toshma, let's bring a right from the following halach. Ilan ha-mezach al-arts. If there's a tree which is hovering above the ground, so it has these branches which start up high, but then they come around down to the ground and create this enclosure. So halacha is im ein noifoy gavoya min aretz gimel tefachim. If they come down all the way to the ground and there's a distance of less than 3 tefachim, less a gap smaller than 3 tefachim between the branches and the ground below, that's considered to be a proper mechitza. Metalton al tachta, one can carry throughout this tree underneath these mechitzas. So we see that even a tree can create a mechitza. There's a kasha on Rav. Hachin nami here as well, but Mayaskin was speaking in a kasha not in tchil kach, that initially he planted this tree for the sake of creating an enclosure. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, yachi l'talta bekuloi. Why can't he carry throughout this entire tree, regardless of its large size? Aloma amarvuna b'devishua. Why did he tell us? A metalton boy, ela be'sayim. One can only carry under this tree if it is a small-sized area, up until the shear of base sa'asayim. So an area where you can plant 2 sa'ah of seeds. So this is generally a shear applied to an area which isn't properly enclosed, meaning it's an area enclosed for a non-residential purpose. As we're going to see in Rashi, this is learned from the shear of the Chatzar Mishkan, the courtyard around the Mishkan, which was a non-residential enclosure. So anytime you have a non-residential enclosure, we don't allow carrying throughout it if it is a large area which resembles a karmelis, which is an unfenced area, like a field, like a forest. So in any case, we see that this concept is applied to this tree. Because Rav Huna tells us that only if it's a small-sized area, a beis ha'asayim, which is considered to be appears like something for personal use, it's a small area, then it's okay even though it was not enclosed for residential purposes. But if it's large, the beis ha'asayim, it appears like an open, unfenced area, like a karmelis. So why does this apply to the tree? If the tree was planted for this purpose, he wanted to create an enclosure, that's called hukaf ledira. It's enclosed for residential purposes. If it's a freestanding tree, just a naturally growing tree, then certainly we understand that it's not really enclosed for residential purposes, and we have the shear base aside. But if you tell me that he personally planted it to create a mechitza, then regardless of its size, he should be allowed to carry within it. Says the Gemara, even though he planted it, it's still deficient. Mishum davedira shatashmish alaver. This residency inside this tree is not for its own sake. Why is he living there? He's living there simply to watch his field. Shatashmish alaver, it's serving the aver, the open space outside the tree. He's sitting there simply to watch his field. V'choldir shatashmish alaver, whenever we have a residency that's intended for serving an open area like a field, that's not considered to be a residential area, a metalton bo'ela beis ha'asayim. So we can't be metalton in this enclosed area unless it has a shear of 2 sa'ah or less. But if it's a large area, then it's considered to be loy hukaf ladira, a non-residential enclosure which does not allow carrying within it. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, 17 lines from the top. A metalton bo'. So Rav Huna Beit Yehoshua tells us that if this enclosure, this under this tree, is too large, you cannot carry within it. If it encompasses an area which is greater than 2 sa'ah, kechatzar mishkan, which is equal to the courtyard around the mishkan, v'shir zeh nosnu chachamim. This formula, this shear, this area, the chachamim applied the chol hekif, any enclosure, hamesukan, which is enclosed, but ve'ein hamesukan kol tzarchai, not properly enclosed. Kigoyin, for instance. The mechitza she'ein ba shesi ve'eira, by pirka, we're going to learn later, a mechitza does not contain both elements of vertical and horizontal, so it's a temporary mechitza, it doesn't appear like a residentially constructed mechitza. That's one example of an improper enclosure, or ulehekav shloikav ledir. We have a proper mechitza, but it was not for the sake of residing within it. Peperek sheni, that's later on. So these two examples are situations where we have a non-residential contained area. Chacham applied this shear to these type of examples. So if it's an area of 2 sa'ah or less, that's small enough to be considered designated for personal use, does not resemble an open, unfenced area like a karmelis, and can be used. But if it's larger than that, it cannot. V'achanami here as well. Explains Rashi, Ibo ibn me'el of mukmasla shaper. If this tree is freestanding, was not planted by this person, we understand, we have the limit of 2 sa'ah. Why? Hoyav alav lochi avida. Since it wasn't created for the purpose of residing within it, Yahavi Rabban Hashir, the Chacham applied this shear because it's considered to be a non-residential enclosure. But if he personally planted it to create this enclosure, it's a residential enclosure. Why is he limited? Says the Gemara, even in this case, it's considered to be an inferior enclosure. Mishum davadiro shetashmish la'aver. Lo'olam shenota mitchil lekach, certainly he planted it for this purpose. Ve'akav la'dirahu, he enclosed it to reside in it. Avo dirazu, this residency inside, ein asuya l'tzorech teichav. It's not intended for its own sake. El tzorech aver shechutzala. It's intended to serve the open space outside this tree. Lodur sham shem re'asadai, so that the watchmen of the field should reside in this place. Vasuya vasuyim lahatzal menachama. And this tree is asuya intended to protect from the sun, so that the shomrim could sit there comfortably to watch the fields. Ve'ein metaltim dirusu el beis hasayim. And therefore we have the limit of tusa. Kedisani perek sheni klalam rav shimon lozon. Kol aver shatashmish ladira. If you have an open space, an unroofed area, which is being used as a residential area, kigoin dir, v'sara, muktzav v'chatzar, these examples, like a courtyard, I feel yud kurim, even if it's a huge area, mutar. You can carry within it because, even though it's unroofed, but it's made to reside in it. It's a residential enclosure. But conversely, v'chol dira, shatashmish la'aver, whenever we have it, even a covered area, but it's intended, purpose is to serve an open area, kigoin burgon and shebesada, it's like these guard booths that are constructed in the fields. In this case, it does not have a status of a residential area because it's serving a non-residential area. Beis asayim mutar, if it is the size of tusa, you can carry within it. Yoisim beis asayim asur, but larger than that, you cannot. Lav dirahu, it's not considered to be a proper residence. Da'al korchoi hudarsham, he's living there against his will, meaning he has no interest in really living under the tree. He's simply living there to serve the purpose of the field. So that answers our question. So although he actually planted the tree, he created this enclosure, but it was for the service of the field, and therefore it's considered to be a non-residential enclosure, which is limited to tusa. Continues the Gemara on the first wide line. Toshma. Let's bring a raya from the following halacha, getting back to our question, whether a mechitza, which was not constructed for the sake of mechitza, does it have a din of mechitza according to Abaye? Yeah, according to Ravano. Toshma, let's bring the following raya. Shavas betel. If a person began his Shabbos up on a mound, shugavay asara, which is 10 fachim off the ground, and therefore is considered as though it's surrounded with mechitzes. Now, how large? What was the surface area of this elevated mound? Vuhu ma'arba amis. It's anywhere from 4 amis, meaning 4 by 4 amis, vad beis asayim, up until an area of tusa, because again, this is a non-residential enclosure. So up until tusa, the mechitzas here are considered to be effective. So he has this area which is between 4 amis and tusa, v'chein, or in a case of b'neka, he began his Shabbos sitting in this pit, shu'am ha'kasar, which is 10 fachim deep, which is considered to be enclosed by mechitzas. And what is the size of this area? Vuma arba amis is anywhere from 4 amis vad beis hasayim until tusa. Or a third example, v'kama k'tsura, or he's sitting in a clearing, middle of a wheat field, for instance. So the kama, these are the stalks k'tsura, which are cut. We have a clearing, v'shibayas makifei saisa, and there are stalks, standing stalks, which are surrounding this clearing, which present a mechitza around it. So this fellow, he resided, he began his Shabbos in this area. So this area, since it's a self-contained area, surrounded by mechitzes, are considered to be his personal space. We know that a person may walk 2,000 amos beyond his home, beyond his enclosed area in which he had resided at the onset of Shabbos. This entire area is considered to be his personal space, and is not reckoned in the number of 2,000 amos. He can walk through this whole area, and beyond that, 2,000 amos, Malchus Kula can walk through the entire area, the Chutzala, and beyond it, Alpayim Amos, an additional 2,000 amos. So what do we see? That even these areas, which are surrounded with, it's a pit in the ground, it's stalks, it's not something which a person constructed for the sake of mechitza. Nevertheless, it constitutes a mechitza. The Chitim, perhaps we'll say, Yochanan here as well, She'asa Metchil Lekach, that initially he went ahead and constructed these mechitzas for this purpose, to create an enclosure? Bishleima kama l'chaye. Certainly, this can explain the halacha of the kama, the stalks. L'chaye, it works well. So he planted it in order to create a mechitz. Elo, tail of a necka. What about the mound and the pit? Ma'ikel emeimer. What do you say over there? These are naturally occurring phenomena. It wasn't constructed by a person. Says Mo, you're right. We must reconfigure the way we presented our machlekes with Abaye and Rava. Ella rather, b'mechitzos, when it comes to partitions, kulam lepligi, all agree that havi mechitza, even a mechitza which was not erected for the sake of mechitza, it still works. It's a mechitza. Even Rava agrees. Ki pligi b'lechi, the machlekes only applies to a lechi. Abaye letamei, Abaye follows his reasoning. The amar lechem shemechitza, because he maintains that a lechi is based on the concept of mechitza. Because this lechi, the side post, is an initiation of a wall, and it works based on the concept and the principle of a mechitza. Therefore, says Abaye, even if this mechitza was not positioned there for the sake of lechi, it works. Well, mechitza, so a mechitza, just as we just learned, that a mechitza which is constructed on its own, meaning not for the sake of partitioning, is considered to be a mechitza, even a naturally occurring mechitza like the tail and neck that we just spoke about. It works. Therefore, says Abaye, a lechi is no different. The Rava, who says no, it needs to be positioned for the sake of lechi, what does he hold? Rava letame. He is compatible with his approach to lechi. The Omar lechi mishum hek. Lechi is effective and works based on the principle of heker. It's an indicator of separateness, the Mavi from Shusaram. Therefore, says Rava, I avidu yadayim, havi heker. If you position it there for the sake of lechi, that calls out to all, that draws attention, look, this is meant to serve as an indicator and separate the Mavi from Shusaram, then indeed we regard it as heker. V'loi, but if it wasn't positioned there for this purpose, loi havi heker does not provide heker. Says Mortashma, let's bring a riot to this machlekes regarding lechi. The Braisa says, Avnei Goder. We have stones coming out of a fence. Hayoitis mina Goder. They're protruding from a fence. So they're protruding into the entranceway. Muvdolos zumazu. Now, they're separate one from the other, meaning you have a stone coming in from the top, one in the middle, one in the bottom. So can they serve as a lechi? Pochos mishloisha, if the distance between the stones is less than three, which is lavad, we regard them as one continuous object. Ein tzorech lechi acher. There's no need to bring another lechi. They themselves will serve as a lechi. Shloisha, but there's a gap of three between the stones. You can't connect the stones together. Therefore, they cannot serve as a lechi. Tzorech lechi acher. You need to bring another lechi. So you see clearly that even for the sake of a lechi, you can use pre-existing phenomena, even stones that are just protruding out of a wall, which weren't positioned there for the sake of lechi, is a kash and rova. Says Maracha Nam here as well. We're speaking about shebana metchil lekach. He built these stones in the wall to serve as a lechi. Yach, if that's the case, pshita, then of course, what's the brisa coming to teach us? Mal detem, perhaps I should say, lemeisa binyanu hu davida, that his primary intent was to allow for an extension of his building. So he had some stones stick out so that he could attach, he could build an extension to the wall when he chooses to do so, to attach them to these protruding stones, which are helpful to connect the extension. So perhaps he also had a lechi in mind, but the primary intent was for construction purposes, thereby invalidating the lechi status. Kamashmal and the Baisa teaches us, no, even so, it has a din of a lechi. Toshma, let's bring a right from the following Baisa, Toner Abchir. Kaisel, we have a wall. Shetzidai echad kanes mechaber. One of its sides is inverted. It narrows. So we have one narrow portion of the wall and one wide portion. Now, where the wall narrows, it is created a protrusion because the wide portion sticks out and can serve as a lech. Now, there are two ways that this could happen. It can either be seen in the Mavi or outside the Mavi. We're speaking about a Mavi wall here, which is inverted. So it can be seen only inside. For instance, if the inverted portion of the wall would be the interior surface of the Mavi wall, meaning the one facing the interior space of the Mavi, and it's to the back of the Mavi. That's where it's narrow, and as you proceed towards the front, it actually widens and creates that protrusion. So that's visible from the inside of the Mavi. You see the narrow wall widening in front of you. But a person that's standing outside in Bachutz, he won't notice that, because to him, it looks just like a wide wall, no more. That's one example. That is nearer Mifnim, but not from the outside. We can have a reverse example. Let's say the wall is inverted from its outside, meaning the surface facing the outside of the Mavi is narrows and creates a protrusion. So that's not visible inside the Mavi, where the surface of the wall is just straight and flush throughout. But it is visible from the outside. That's nirim bachutz. Says Reb Chiya, in either case, it can serve as a lechi. Bein shenirim bachutz, whether the lechi is visible on the outside of the Mavi, v'shavim efnim, on the inside it's not. U bein shenirim efnim, whether it's visible on the inside, v'shavim bachutz, and even from the outside, nida mishum lechi, it can be used as a lechi. So apparently, this is just a quirk in construction. It wasn't intended for the sake of lechi. Nevertheless, it works. That's a kashan rov. Hachanami here as well says the Gemara she'asam t'chil l'kach initially. He designed his wall to create a lechi. Iyach, if that's the case, my kamashmon, what's the chiddush here? Hachamashmon, he's teaching us, nirim b'chutz. When something is only visible on the outside, v'shav v'fnim, and on the inside, nidam shum lechi, it can serve as a lechi. Tashma, let's bring a raya from the following story with Rav. The Rav hava yosef v'ahu mevoa. Rav was sitting v'ahu mevoa in that certain mavi, which had a lechi positioned at the entrance point. Hava yosef Rav Huna kamei. Rav Huna was sitting in front of Rav. What happened was, amalei l'shamei, so Rav instructed his servant, zil, go ahead, aisili kuze demaya. Please bring me a pitcher of water. Ada asa, by the time the fellow came back, nafu l'chayim. So the lechi fell down. Achvile b'yodi. So Rav gestured to him with his hand that he should stop carrying. Kama duchte. So he stood in place and he stopped. Amalei Rav Huna. So Rav Huna turned to Rav and he said, what's the problem? Loi sava lamar lismecha dikla. Do you not want to rely, depend on the palm tree, which is standing at the entrance point to the Mavi, why can't that be used as a lechi? Amas, Rav responded, tell me haimi Rabbanon. It appears like this Rabbanon here is keman delei parshi in shishmaita, like he hasn't fully understood the topic at hand. How could you suggest that I rely on this tree? Misam chino le me'etmo? Did we depend on this thing from before Shabbos? Meaning we had a legitimate lechi here until this point. So that tree was pushed away, it was negated from being used as a lechi at the onset of Shabbos, so we can't use it. Says the Gemara, this indicates to us that the reason why he wouldn't rely on it was not because it wasn't positioned there for the sake of lechi. Taima, the lechi samchinen, it's only because they didn't depend on it from before Shabbos, so it can't turn into a lechi on Shabbos. Ha samchinen, but if they would have depended on it that before Shabbos, have a lechi, it can't be used as a lechi. Although it wasn't positioned there for that purpose. So this is a raya to Abaye, who tells us that if the lechi is being relied upon and depended upon at the onset of Shabbos, it can be used, although it was not built for the sake of lechi. So it's a raya to Abaye. Says one second. Who says that the way we are presenting the machlokes of Abaye v'Ravim is correct? Perhaps we can switch things around, in which case it will actually be a kasha from the story of Rav on Abaye. Lema, let's perhaps suggest that Abaye v'Rava, but the lois samchinen olei pligi. The machlekes between them only pertains to a situation where they did not depend on this lechi from before Shabbos. There was another lechi present, they didn't need it. And now during Shabbos they decided to depend on it. In that case, Abaye says, it's still good. According to Rava, it is not, because it doesn't provide sufficient heker when the switchover occurred during Shabbos. So that's where the machlekes applies. But in a case where they like to depend on this lechi from the onset of Shabbos, have a lechi, all agree it can be used. In which case, this story of Rav would concur with Rav's shita, because Rav says, well, we didn't depend on this before Shabbos, we can't use it. Which doesn't conform with Abaye, who says, even in that case, the lechi can be used. Just the opposite, Rav will conform with Rav. Says where you can't say, you can't present a machlekes between Abaye and Rav in this case. You can't suggest that if they depended on the lechi from before Shabbos, all agree, even Rav agrees that it's mutter. Why is that? You can't suggest that. Why? Because we have a story that who barka, because there was a certain porch, the Hava Bay Bar Chavu, that was in the home of Bar Chavu, which was supported by a beam, which actually was situated near the entranceway to a Mavi, and could have been applied as a lechi. And what happened there? Vavu pligi ba Abaye v'Rava, and Abaye v'Rava had a machlekes regarding the use of this beam as a lechi, since it wasn't positioned there for the sake of lechi. So they had a machlekes kuli shenayu throughout all the years, throughout their entire lifetime. So apparently, although one wished to depend on this beam at the onset of Shabbos and apply it as a lechi, Rava maintained, it could not be applied as a lechi, since it wasn't positioned there for this purpose. Whereas Abaye maintained that despite the fact that it was serving as a post, as a support beam, it wasn't placed there for a lechi. It can be used for a lechi, provided that he decided to use it from before Shabbos. As we learned in the story of Rav, that you can only use it in that case. But if it's something which just changed on Shabbos itself, all agree that can't be applied as a lechi, because even Abaye, who holds that lechi works with the concept of mechitza, therefore he says that even if it wasn't placed there for the sake of lechi, it will work just as a mechitza can work regardless. But even Abaye agrees, as Tosis earlier explains, there is an element of heker that needs to take place. So since this lechi was not inaugurated at the onset of Shabbos, it's lacking that heker, it's lacking visibility and recognition. Since that must be determined at the onset of Shabbos. And at the onset of Shabbos, this wasn't being used as a lechi. Even Abaye would agree. It doesn't function as a lechi. It's not providing adequate heker. You can't create the heker on Shabbos itself. That gets determined at the first point of Shabbos. This is not being used as a lechi then. It cannot turn into a lechi on Shabbos. That's not considered to be adequate visibility and appearance as a lechi. Therefore, when it was not used before Shabbos, all agree, you can't rely on it. But if you decide to use it before Shabbos, Abaye maintains it's okay, and Rava says even then it cannot be used. So the story with Rav is a riot to Abaye, because he allowed use of the lechi, which was positioned for a purpose other than lechi function, provided that one relied on it from before Shabbos. So in summary, regarding a lechi oimid me'elav, something which was positioned there not for the sake of lechi function, if it was not relied on from before Shabbos, all agree it cannot be used. If you'd like to depend on it from the onset of Shabbos, Abaye says it could be used because he holds lechem mishum mechitza. Rava says it cannot be used because he holds lechem mishum heker. And only something which was positioned there for the sake of lechi provides the adequate measure of heker and indication. And therefore, in this case, that it was not placed there for this purpose, it cannot be used as a lechi. Continues the Mishnah. Ba'koil oisin lechayayin. One can use any material for the sake of creating a lechi. Afilu b'davar shiyesh b'ruchayim. Even using an animal, a living being. Ramei oiser, he says, an animal cannot be applied as a lechi. U'metama mishum goyel. Goyel is a covering of a kever or a coffin, which attains a very high level of tumah. It is even metama b'oil. So if it's sitting under one roof with something else, it makes that thing tummy. So even if he uses an animal to cover the caver or the coffin, it will attain a goyal status and will have this tumah. The Rabbi Meir retired. He says, no, if you're using an animal, it doesn't get this tumah. Explains Rashi up on top on the first line, Rabbi Meir retired. The Talmud Rabbi Meir, what is the reason for Rabbi Meir? He says that an animal cannot be applied for these things. Mefarish Masechah Sukkah, the Gemara in Sukkah explains, Bekulu, Mishum de Kosavim, because he holds, Kol Mechitza, Hayimedes, Beruach Chaim, Eina Mechitza. Anything which is sustained by spirit, by life, something intangible, that Mechitza is not considered to be a properly supported, properly standing Mechitza. It's being supported by something intangible, by Ruach, by spirit, by life. Therefore, he says that an animal can never attain the status of a mechitza, Therefore, it can't be used as a lechi, and can't be used as a oil by the mace. Continues the Mishnah. The koisvin ol of gitin nashim. One can write, even a get, a divorce document on an animal. Rabbi Yosef Lili Paisel, he says, it's invalid. It says in Martanya Rav Meir Omer, kol dava sheish borachayim, any living being, ein oisin noisoi, you cannot use it for, loy doifin lesukah, as a wall for a sukkah, loy lechi lemavoy, it cannot be applied as a lechi, loy pasin liberois, it can be used as a post around those wells in Shasarabim, which require mechitza, because a living being cannot be turned to mechitza. But loy goyel lekever, likewise, it cannot be turned to a goyel atop of a kever. Meshur Rabbi Yisak Lili Amru, in the name of Rabbi Yisak Lili, said, af ein koisven ol avgitei noshem. Likewise, you cannot write a get on a living creature. My time with Rabbi Yisak Lili. What is this reason you cannot write a get on the animal? This time he's learned in a brisa. The pasuk says, "V'kos of law sefer krisus." He's meant to write for his wife a sefer of krisus, of cutting off, referring to the get. Says the brisa, "Sefer." Had the pasuk only said "sefer," only a sefer, this would imply that you could only write a get on sefer. As Rashi explains, referring to klaf, parchment. Menayim l'rabbis kol davar. How do we know that one can write a get on any form of material? Talmud loymer v'kos of law mikol makom. Instead of pasuk merely saying v'nasan, the sefer krisus, the pasuk is v'kos of law, to indicate that you can write a get on any type of material. It doesn't necessarily need to be parchment. In Cain, if that's the case, ma'atam leim a sefer. Why then does the pasuk even use the word sefer, which indicates that you're limited as to what material you can write to get on? Loi malach to teach you as follows. There is something that's excluded. Ma sefer, just as a sefer, this parchment, is davar she'ein bo rachayim. It's not a living being. Ve'ein ha'ochel doesn't eat. Af kol davar. Likewise, anything that you'd like to write to get on needs to conform to this formula. It needs to be af kol davar she'ein bo rachayim. It cannot be a living creature, ve'ein ha'ochel, and can't be something that eats. So this is basically this makar that you cannot write a get on a living creature. So it's more Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who disagree and they hold you can write a get even on a davar she'ein bo rachayim. How do they learn these psukim? They respond as follows: Miksiv b'sefer. Does the pasuk say you meant to write the get b'sefer to indicate that this is the material that you meant to write the get on? No, sefer ksiv. The pasuk says, "Mekasul a sefer krisus." It's not referring to what you're writing on. Rather, l'sfiras dvarim ba'alma hu da'asa. The pasuk is merely indicating the content of the get. So, sefer is sfiras dvarim, describing the event. It's not describing the material on which the get is written on. So, there's no reference to parchment, to cloth. Therefore, certainly, there's no reason to disallow any type of material for a get. Continues the one. V'rabbanan. Now, according to the Rabbanan, that there's no reason to limit the material on which a get is written. Hai v'kasavla my darshibe. So what do they do with the pasav v'kasavla? According to Rabbi Yosi, we're safer, limited things, so v'kasav needed to expand things for us and allow more materials. According to Rabbanan, there was never a limitation in the first place. So why does the pasav say v'kasavla? Which seems to imply that we're coming to include more things. Says in Mahomi Bailey, they require that pasuk to teach us entirely different halacha. B'ksiva miskareshes, an isha can be divorced by ksiva, through a document, ve'ena miskareshes b'kesef, but not through money. For instance, if you give her money, you tell her, through this money, you'll be miskaresh, it doesn't work. So that's what the b'kesef is coming to teach us. Only through the written word does the gerushin take place? Perhaps I would say, since we find that the pasuk connects leaving the husband, acquiring the wife, the pasuk says, leave this husband, and be acquired by another husband. So these two concepts, leaving the husband and entering the husband's domain, are connected one with the other. Perhaps, halachically, I should connect it to Mahavai b'kesef, just as the acquisition of a woman, the kedushin, is done through kesef. Af yitzir b'kesef, perhaps even leaving the husband as well, can be done through money. Kamash malon, the Pasuk has to say, because of law, you cannot use money for this purpose. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yisak Lili, who already used v'kas halach for his sake, how does he know this halach? It's unavailable for this point. Hai svar manali, how does he know this halach? Nafkalei, he learns it from a different pasuk, from a different nuance in this pasuk. Misefer krisis, the fact that the Torah joins together sefer with krisis, puts the two words right next to each other, this teaches us that's the only way to megarish isha. Sefer kursa, only the sefer can cut her off from her husband. Ve'davacha kursa, but another thing does not have the power to do that, you cannot use money. Says the Gemara, v'rabbanan. Now let's ask, what did the Rabbanan do with this pasuk? Hai sefer krisis, what do they use this pasuk for? Hai sefer krisis, mi'bayle. They need to use this for the following halacha. L'davar ha'kur is b'nai l'vina. Come to teach us that the gerushin needs to take place in a manner where she's completely cut off from the husband without any long-term commitments. So sefer krisis, karis means to cut off, is indicating there needs to be a clean cut. Look at the sanya as we went in the brace. Hareza gitech. If a person tells his wife, here's your get, almanas, on condition, it's only going to be effective, on condition shleitish, the yayin. You won't drink wine. Almanas shleitelchi lebeis avich. You won't go visit your father's home. Lo'olam forever. Eza krisis. That's not considered to be cut off because she's connected to him. She's committed to him. She's obligated to him for the rest of her life. But if it's a short-term stipulation, kol shleishim yom, don't drink wine for the next 30 days. It's only a temporary condition. Hareze krisis is considered to be krisis, she's cut off from him, as Rashi points out. The get becomes activated immediately. Because all of the next 30 days, she's limited. She can't drink wine. But since it's only a temporary phenomenon, that doesn't negate the concept of the krisis, and therefore the get works. So according to Rabbanon, sefer krisis comes to teach us this halacha. For Rabbi Yisak Lili, how does he know this halacha? Because he already used sefer krisis for another purpose. It's unavailable for this halacha. Nafkalei, his source for this halacha is from the following, mikaris krisus. The fact that the pasuk, instead of saying sefer karis, lengthens that word, adds a vav and saf, krisus, that seems to indicate needs to be a cutoff. V'rabbanon karis krisus le'darshi, don't expound on the extra letters. They consider this to be a normative way of speaking, and therefore it's unavailable for this purpose. So in summary, we learned that, according to our mayor, any living creature cannot be used for a mechitza. Now regarding writing a get, according to Rabban, you can write it on a balchai, according to a race, you cannot. The more explained for us how each one uses the pasuk. The pasuk says, because of, let's say, the krisis. According to Rabbanon, because of teaches you, you cannot be megarish using money. Sefer is merely referring to sefer zvarim, the content of the get. Sefer krisis teaches us it needs to be davar akuris, a complete cutoff without any long-term commitments, without any commitment that stretches through entire life. According to Rabbi Yisak Lili, the kasala teaches you can write on any material. Sefer comes to limit it. It can't be something which is ruach chaim, an animal. Sefer krisis tells you you cannot be megarish using money. And krisus comes to tell you it needs to be a cutoff without any lifetime commitment. Continues the Mishnah. Shayora shechansu b'bikur. This is a group of people, a caravan on the road that camped out in this valley. They'd like to carry within their camp. V'kifor klei behema, they surrounded their camp with animal accessories to create a mechitza. Metaltan b'soicha, they can carry throughout this enclosure. Ubevat, provided shehi gedor gvayos asar tfachim. This fence is 10 tfachim high, which is a share mechitza. That's number one. Number two, the unenclosed portion, the unbuilt portion, should not total an area which is greater than the built portion. So if you measure the circumference of this enclosure, the solid built portion cannot be negated and surpassed by the gaps all along the mechitza. Number three, if you have a breach which is up until 10 amis, it's mutter. It's regarded like an entranceway. If it's larger than 10, asur. It makes the entire enclosure asur because it's a pirtza, point of a mechitza. It's to serve as a partition to enclose an area. If you have a large gap, it's an enclosure. It's greater than 10 amis, which is no longer a pesach, then mechitza is dysfunctional. So the entire enclosure has become invalidated. Continues the Gemara. Itmar Poretz Koimet. What if the sum total of the pirtzes, of the gaps in the machitzos, equal the amount of built wall? So they're 50-50. Rapapa Mamutar, you can carry within it. As long as the oimet has not been negated by a majority of pirtzes, it's okay. Ravuni with the Bishuamar, Asur, he holds, it needs to be mostly built. Rapapa Mamutar, even if it's half and half. Hochi Agam Rechman Lamosha. This is how Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu regarding the dinah of machitzes. Lo yisif roitz ruba. Make sure that the area isn't, the machitza isn't mostly breached, but if it's only half and half, it's okay. Rav Huna, Vedev Shua Amar, Asur, you can't carry within this enclosure. Hachi agam rechman al Moshe. This is what Hashem taught Moshe. G'day ruba. Make sure to enclose most of the enclosure. So if it's not mostly built, it's not considered a machitza. So now, let's take a look at our Mishnah. Must make sure the gaps don't total an area greater than the built portion. Apparently, if they're the same exact amount, the pirtz and the binyan equal the same amount, it's mutter to carry within. This is a kash on Rav Huna. It says, don't say, if they're the same amount, it's mutter. Elaima rather say as follows, in binyan, yasala pirtz and mutter. If there's more built and unbuilt, it's mutter. Aval kebinyan my asur, but you're going to say if it's 50-50, my, what is halacha, it's asur? Yach, if that's the case, listen, lo yu pirtzes kebinyan. Instead of the Mishnah saying that you must make sure that the pirtzes are not greater than the binyan, the Mishnah should have said that the pirtzes should not equal the binyan, because that also poses a concern and negates the machitza, according to Rav Huna Devishua. So why does the Mishnah say, well, make sure the pirtzes don't surpass the binyan, indicating that if it's half and half, it's okay? Kasha. Indeed, it's an unresolved difficulty on Rav Huna ben Yeshua from the Mishnah. Tashma, let's bring a raya from the following halacha. Hamakara sukkasai, if one covers over his sukkah, b'shvudin, using rods, or baruch samita, a part from a bed, which are unsuitable to be used for schach. So halacha is as follows. Im yesh rebach b'nein. If the space in between these rods is kemoisan, equals the size of the rods. So you have one rod, another rod, and between them you have a gap in which a rod could fit into. So all in all, it's really 50-50. You have the rods, and in between them you're going to place kasher schach. Kshera, and the sukkah is kasher. Apparently, even 50-50 is okay. The Gemara is comparing the covering of schach to your din mechitza. This is a kasha on Rav Huna ben Yeshua. Says Rav Huna Eskinan, we're speaking about a case where there's more schach kasha than possible. Kishenichas v'yoytze. Now you left a gap between the rods to allow a rod in, but loosely, goes in and out loosely, in which case the space is actually larger than just a rod. So the sum total of space is greater than the rods, because the space in between the rod is larger in size, and the rod alongside it. In which case, the total amount of schach kasher surpasses the schach pasul. And schach pasul is batel. Says Gemara, v'eshel etzamtzem, how do you know that the gap was greater than the actual rod? A person can, if he wants, he can do things exact, which will turn out only 50-50. How do you know that the gaps are larger than the rods? Amar ba'ami b'madif, we're speaking about a case where he indeed intended on doing extra space larger than the rods themselves, in which case it's not 50-50, it's more kasher than pasul. Rav Amar, as follows, we're speaking about where the rods were placed in one direction and the schach kasher on top of the rods in the opposite direction. So erev and shesi is generally referring to erev is horizontal, shesi is vertical. Here they're obviously lying down. It's just a term. If the rods were placed in one direction, Noisin Shesi places the Schach Kasher on top of them in the other direction. Shesi, if the rods were placed in this direction, Noisin Erev, Schach Kasher placed on top of them, is placed in the other direction. In which case, there will be more Kasher than Pasul. Why? Because once he's placing the Schach Kasher on top of Schach Pasul in the other direction, so, number one, he's covering up the gaps. So let's say it's 50-50, 50 gaps and 50 rods. So he's covering up the gaps, making 50-50. But he's placing the schach kasher on top of the schach pasul in order to support the schach kasher, which is being supported by the Ischach Pasul beneath it. So since the Ischach Pasul is being covered over by Ischach Pasul as well, so you have an additional area which is covered by Ischach Pasul. Not only the gaps are being covered exclusively by Ischach Pasul, but even at least some of the Ischach Pasul is being covered by Ischach Kasher, which is supporting itself on Ischach Pasul. Because it needs to be supported since it's lying in the other direction. In which case you have more Ischach Kasher than Pasul, and Ischach Pasul is Batal B'Roiv. Continues the Gemara Tashma, let's bring a Raya from the following Braisa. Shayor Shechansu B'Bikah, a caravan which camped out in the valley. V'kifor, and they surrounded the area B'Gmalin, with camels, B'Ukvois, with saddles, B'Avitin, these pillows from underneath the saddles, B'Shlifin, with loads, B'Kanim, with reeds, B'Kolchais, with stalks of vegetables, Metal from the Seicha, one may carry within this enclosure. Ubavat, provided, Shiloh Yevin, Gomel Gomel, the space between the camel and the other one is Kimloy Gomel, should not be the size of a Gomel. Ubein Ukuf, the Ukuf, you can't leave space between one saddle and the other, Kimloy Ukuf, the width of an Ukuf. Ubein Avet, the Avet, you cannot leave space between one Avet and the other, Kimloy Avet, the size of an Avet. Because that's going to leave it 50-50. So apparently, that poses a concern. And the Kashan of Papu tells us that if the built and the unbuilt are evenly split, it's considered to be a proper mechitza. Says the Gemara, Hachanami here as well, we're speaking about Kishenichas V'yotze, that the gap in between is actually greater in size than the item alongside it. So if we have two saddles, and we have a gap in between those saddles which equal the space of a saddle, we're not speaking about exactly the size of a saddle, but enough space that you can bring the saddle in and out of that gap with room to spare. You can bring it in and out easily. So apparently this gap is actually a bit larger in size than the saddle alongside it, which results in the gaps, the total gap area being greater in size, larger in number than the built portion. So it's not 50-50. But it actually, it's Parit, which is Merubah Lo Emet, which according to all Shittas, is not considered to be a Mechitza. So in summary, we spoke about Dini Mechitza. It needs to be 10 Tfachim high. The breach in the wall, if it's up until 10 Amos, is considered to be a Pesach. When the breach is total in area greater than the Emet, all agree that Mechitza has been nullified. What if the Parit equals the Emet? According to Rav Papa, it's Mutter. According to Rav Huna and Yeshua, that nullifies the enclosure. Okay, time for a brief chazor of today's daf. We began with the machlekes between Abaye and Rava concerning a lechi oimed me'elov. So we have this lechi which was not positioned there in order to function as a lechi, but pre-positioned for other purposes. Now if it did not depend on this lechi, at the onset of Shabbos all agree it cannot be used as a lechi on Shabbos. Because it doesn't provide heker. It's not indicating anything because it was negated at the start of Shabbos, and therefore it doesn't provide enough heker and an indication of separateness between Rav and Shusharab. What if he was Samech on Shabbos? He relied on this thing from before Shabbos. Going to buy its kosher, despite the fact it wasn't positioned there for the sake of the lechi, because lechi is a mechitza. Just as a mechitza would work in this case, a lechi as well. Going to Rava, lechi needs to work with the concept of heker. And since it wasn't positioned there for the sake of a lechi, it doesn't call enough attention to itself. It doesn't provide enough heker and can't be used. We learned that according to a mayor, an animal cannot be used as a mechitza. And we learned regarding a get, according to the Rabbanon, you can write a get on even an animal, according to Rabbi Yossi, you cannot. We proceed with the laws of mechitza. It needs to be 10 tfachim high. The piritza in a wall can be up until 10 amis and still be regarded as a pesach. If the breached portion of an enclosure is greater than the oimed, it's possible. If they're equal, we have a machlekes.